This is Love Sunday, so we're going to roll one more video before we get right, and then we'll go right into our speaking. So go ahead and do that for us. So if you paid attention to that, that's going to set up where we're going for this morning. But let's go ahead and let's get our Bibles in our hands. And before we confess, let me just say, I love you. I love you all. Amen. I sure appreciate it. I was going to cry if y'all didn't say nothing back. But I appreciate it. All right. Put your Bibles in your hands. Repeat after me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I will have what it says I will have. I'm a part of Deliverance Temple, where we love by living our vision every day. We connect with our Creator continually. We confess our deliverance consistently. We commit to serve creatively. We communicate Christ's love compassionately. Father God, feed me your word. If you believe you're going to be fed, go ahead and make some noise. Amen. Such a blessing that I get the opportunity to share the word of God with the people of God. And so we've been in a series called Questioning or Questions. So we started off with questioning God, and then we went to questioning self, and today we're talking about questioning love. So questioning love. And so I'm going to give us a scenario that I heard a therapist say first, and then we will work through it. I'm not going to rush. I'm going to take my time. So it's not like I'm a real short preacher. I'm not going to be extremely long, but I'm not going to get in a rush. I'm going to take my time. Is that okay? I was going to do it anyway. I just wanted to get you. But anyway, I'm going to take my time. So this therapist gave two scenarios. They said there's a person at home. Let's give an example of a woman. There's a woman at home. There's two women at home. One woman has no food anywhere in her house. No food in the refrigerator, no food in the pantry, no snacks, no nothing. Then there's a knock on the door, and a man is knocking on the door with a fresh pizza that smells really, really good. And so the woman opens the door and the man says, "You can have this pizza, but I got to come inside too." Well, because the woman has no food at all, she's willing to take the risk because she's at the point of starvation. But then there's another woman, same scenario, except for she has food in her fridge. She has food in her cupboard. She has snacks in her pocketbook. She got peppermints in her underwear drawer. She got stuff. There's a knock on the door, and there's a man with a fresh pizza. And she says, "Ooh, I would like this fresh pizza." And he said, "But if I give you this pizza, I got to come inside." Well, what the therapist was saying is the person who is starved will take the chance on the pizza. The person whose cupboards are full will say, "Nah, That's too much risk. And the point that is being made is when your love tank is already full, you don't take unnecessary chances with love. But if you're already empty, anything and anybody looks good. And so when you grow and when you learn, you realize you made decisions not questioning love enough. You was just hungry. I know this ain't never happened to y'all, but you ever got older in life and seen an old boyfriend or an old girlfriend or an old ex and asked yourself, what was I thinking? Nothing wrong with you. You was just hungry. The cupboards were bare. You were starved. And that's why you have to learn to fill up on love, not just romantic love, but all kinds of love, so you don't make love choices when you're hungry. One of the worst things you could do is go to Walmart when you're hungry. One of the worst things you can do is go to Aldi when you're hungry. You can't go in and come right out because you're too hungry. You're too bare, too empty. And the point of coming to the house of God is that you be filled up with God's love. So when it comes to romantic love, you make the right decision. Somebody say, questioning love. All right, so we got to ask some questions about love. Let's use the definition that we have consistently used throughout. And here it is. A doubt about the truth or validity of something. It is okay to doubt. When he tells you he can give you the sun, moon, and the stars, and he can't rub two nickels together, it's okay to doubt it. You ain't got to take everything. You're not that desperate, sweetheart. You're not that desperate, man of God. You can take your time, especially if you have God's love. You can ask questions. Let me tell you something about my mother, elect lady. That's a question-asking woman. She can ask some questions, but I'm learning the wisdom in asking questions because I'm not a questioning type of person. Even my wife has asked me, did you get any more information? I'll tell her such and such happened. She's like, why? When? So-and-so's getting divorced. Well, why? What happened? I don't know. They just getting divorced. I don't know no information, no details, no nothing. But a woman will ask questions. And sometimes when it comes to love, you got to ask some questions, raise some doubt, check the validity. It's okay to ask questions. Ooh, you fine, baby. Grand rising. I'm grateful that I'm fine. I thank you for your grand rising, but do you have a mate at home before you slide in my inbox, before I get swept away by you? Do you have somebody that'll be mad at me for you talking to me? Let me know up front. Here's the thing I tell people. Let me choose my own sin. Don't force it on me. Tell me up front. But sometimes in this day and age with these sneaky jokers, you better ask some questions. Oh, I didn't mean to go here, but sometimes you got to ask the questions. What were you born as when you were born? This is who you are now, but I would like to know, when you came out the birth canal, what did they say you were? I just want to know because I want to ask questions. I don't want surprises later on when I could have asked some questions up front. All right, let's put this up here. The raising of doubt about or objection to something. All right, so let's work with this. Four questions to ask about love. Four things to ask about love. We're going to start off talking about romantic love, and then we're going to shift into other loves, because sometimes in this day and age, in this context, we act like romantic love is the only love that is around, but it's not. When you were born, most of you had automatic love. When you're a mother and you've carried a baby for 9 months, there's some automatic love. So you also have to understand that romantic love is not the only love around, and it is not the most important love. So if you have all the other loves and don't have romantic love, you don't have to stick your head in the sand and cry for 12 months. You can lift your head up high because it's not the end all be all like the movies make you feel. Let me say this. I wasn't going to add this, but let me go ahead and add this. We talk about four types of people, and normally we leave out the fourth one. So we talk about happily married or unhappily married. And then we talk about unhappily single. So we have happily married, unhappily single, but sometimes we don't talk about happily single. There are people who are single and they enjoy being single. There's somebody that don't want no gifts for Valentine's Day. I don't want no chocolate. I don't want nobody messing up my peace, messing up my space. I'm single and I'm enjoying my singleness. Not everybody that is single is crying about single. Some people want to be by themselves because they function better by themselves. So don't assume just because somebody don't have somebody that they automatically in the dumps. Oh, you're 45 and you ain't got no man. I don't want a man. Oh, you're 50. And you ain't got a woman. I don't want a woman. I want to be by myself. Here's the thing about when you have a mate, even when you happily married, you got to let your mate know when you do stuff. Amen. You can't just get up and go to Cabo San Lucas without talking to your mate. But when you're single, you can book a trip and go where you want, when you want, how you want, and ain't got to talk to nobody. Maybe you got to talk to your job about your PTO, but before I put my PTO in, I got to talk to my wife, got to talk to my family. Not everybody that is single is depressed about being single. There are some happily single people. All right, just wanted to throw that out there. All right, let's go to number one. And Mother Mitchell, would you read that for me? What's point number one?
Is it lust or is it love?
Oh, that's one of the first questions you got to ask yourself. Is it lust or is it love? Because sometimes lust can function like love, but it can't function for the long haul. There's an old story in the Bible about a man planting a field of wheat. And then the scripture says that some things were thrown in there. Some tares were sown in there. And the scripture says that the instruction was to leave them alone and let them grow together. Because what happens is as they grow, that's when you can tell the difference between the two. Because the wheat is top heavy. So as it grows, it begins to bow. But the tare is like a weed. It just grows and keeps on growing up. So it takes a while to tell whether you have a wheat or tare. And let me tell you the same thing that happens with lust and love. Sometimes it takes a while to tell whether it's love or whether it's lust. And let me tell you something about us men. We conflate and confuse the two often. She's a brick house and I'm automatically in love. It is love at first sight. I went to the gym to work on my abs and I seen something else and I'm in love. Woo, Pastor, I'm in love. It may be love, but it may be something else. Let's go to one of the most tragic stories in the Bible as it relates to this. This is a story about David's son named Amnon. And so we're going to pick it up, 2 Samuel 13:4.
He said to Amnon, "Why are you moping around like this day after day? You, the son of the king, tell me what's eating at you. In a word, Tamar," said Amnon, "my brother Absalom's sister. I'm in love with her."
He said, I'm in love. What's going on? Why are you moping around? Why are you sick? Well, I'm in love. But I'm in love with something I'm not supposed to have. I had a friend tell me this, that their mother told them this, and it's a good wisdom lesson. The problem with us as humans is the heart wants what the heart wants, even when it's off the table. I've said it before. I can't go to McDonald's and ask for steak and lobster because that's not on the menu. And I'm not supposed to go to the house down the street and ask for somebody else's wife, because that's not supposed to be on the menu. But when your heart confuses stuff, sometimes your heart wants what it wants, and you'll find a way to get it. You'll be sick trying to go after what you don't even need and not even supposed to have. There's some folk married moping around because they lost their boyfriend on the side. Didn't nobody know they had a boyfriend on the side but them. They crying the blues because sometimes the heart just wants what it wants, but it don't always want the right stuff. And not everything that is good to you is good for you. And sometimes it takes time to realize what feels good to me is not always good for me. So I got to ask some questions. Why are my hands sweating every time I see her? It just might be lust. And guess what? If it is lust, it don't make you a horrible Christian, a horrible person. It just makes you human. Just don't think because you get married, you go blind. My wife is beautiful, but she's not the only beautiful person on the earth. She's not the only beautiful person in this church. Just because she's mine don't mean I'm blind. But this is what I told someone. I have a new car. And whenever I see a new car like my new car, I always look. It catches my attention. But what I don't do is jump out of my car and try to get into that car. Because guess what's going to happen? I'm going to wreck both cars. So I acknowledge it, but I keep on driving. Now, here's the thing. Let me talk to you men for a second. And in church, we act like only men deal with lust. Amen. But women, y'all know y'all full of lust too. Water glistening all over his body. Woo, look at how we all deal with lust. But men, this is what we have to do as men. We have to learn how to bounce our eyes. In other words, you're going to notice. You're going to see, excuse my terminology, big butts is going to be big butts no matter how you look at it. That ain't gonna change. And you may notice it, but you can't lock in and stay there. Notice and go on about your business. Now, in this season of the BBL, you ain't gonna be able to miss some of this. I remember one time me and my wife were away, and it was funny. I saw it first, and she yelled me, she had to look at it too, like, good God almighty. What's going on? Because it wasn't proportionate. And ain't nothing wrong with surgery, but if you're going to get surgery, please make it proportionate. Yeah. But anyway, that's another story. Yeah. But you just don't fixate on it. You don't stay stuck on it. You question yourself. Have I looked too long? I've told this story before, but like I said, I'm taking my time early on in my marriage. Somebody say early on. Next month, we're gonna celebrate 25 years. So this wasn't in the 25th year. This is early on in the marriage. Driving to Chicago. And we got in downtown Chicago. And we're going and the buildings are around. And I'm looking around as I'm driving. And this beautiful woman comes out the building and was passing the car that I was driving. Now, if I was by myself, I would have took an extra look. But my wife was right here. But man, she was fine. So I thought I'd be slick. I grabbed my sunglasses, put them on my eyes, and I drove and I cut my eye to the corner just to see how beautiful she was. And Devin said, I see you looking at her. I'm like, how? How is it possible? Women just know somehow. So I realize I can't pull the wool over her eyes, so I might as well stop trying to be extra and do the most. How about you love the one you with? All right. So back to the story. Amnon was sick with love. He was lovesick. Nothing wrong with being lovesick. It can be a beautiful feeling to have butterflies all in your stomach. It could be gas, but it might be love. But you may not, sometimes you got to question yourself. But let's see what plays out. Let's look at the next verse, verse 14. We're jumping 10 verses. I want to speed up.
But Amnon wouldn't listen to her. And since he was stronger than she was, he raped her.
If your love takes advantage of other people, it's probably not real love.
That's right.
And so what happened is him and his friend devised a scheme where he would, even though he was lovesick, he would play a literally sick. And she was going to come to serve him because that's what they did in those days. And when she came to serve him, he grabbed her and said, lay with me. And she was like, no, don't do this. If we're going to do this, let's go and do it right and ask the king, can you marry me? But don't do it like this. And he didn't listen. He grabbed her and he raped her and took from her. Let's look at verse 15.
Then suddenly Amnon's love turned to hate, and he hated her even more than he had loved her. Get out of here, he snarled at her.
Here's the problem, women, that men have. Love feels like lust until lust gets what it wants. He was so good to me. He was so sweet to me. He was always calling me. But there's something, we have a problem, women. Once we get what we want, it loses its luster. We are hunters. We are chasers. And once we catch what we've hunted and catch what we've chased, sometimes the thrill is no longer there. And so what he thought was love was really lust. And what he sold you was love. And you find out later it's lust. So sometimes you got to help the man and you got to ask questions. And sometimes you got to help the man by withholding some stuff that you ain't supposed to be given. Because you got to say, listen, I've been through this before. It's different when you're 18, 19, 20, and you don't know no better. But when you're 45 and 50, you got to make some better choices with your life. And say, no, I'm too old to be raising babies. I'm not just going to be jumping in the bed and going with anybody and doing anything in the booth, in the back, in the corner. I got to make some better decisions. I got to have some questions because you're talking a good game. But it may not be what it really is. And that's what happened in the Bible. And the scripture says he actually hated her after he got what he wanted. Let's look at verse 16 and then we'll move on.
No, no, Tamar cried. Sending me away now is worse than what you've already done to me. But Amnon wouldn't listen to her.
So not only have you taken from me, but now you're kicking me out and you are scandalizing my name. And this is what the problem with women sometimes, even when you're done wrong, you just want somebody to make it right. But when it's lust, we don't have no desire to make it right. It goes both ways. Women have done some stuff on men too. Sometimes the man that's a player is a player because a woman broke his heart early on. And he made up in his mind, I'll never go through that. So we just have to ask some more questions. Now, in the church that I grew up, we made it seem like you're going to go to hell if you ever did any of these things. Let me just be frank. If you have sex, you're going to hell. That's not true. But what is true is sometimes you delay blessings. Sometimes you complicate your life. Have you ever seen somebody on Facebook say, we're married, we're in a relationship, and somebody else say, it's complicated? Sometimes we complicate life when we have a whole bunch of lust that's confused as love. And so if that's you, don't cry about it. One of the best things you can do is turn and help the next generation. One of the worst things the church did is back in the day, the women just would tell the young girls, be a peach out of reach, but wouldn't tell the full story. Now, you got four kids and they all got different last names. You ain't always been a peach out of reach. How about you tell me what really is going on so I can learn the lesson? But church folk get so sedentary and act like they ain't never done it. No, tell these young folk what's going on. Don't treat them bad, but train them so they can miss some of the pitfalls that we have made. You've been married a couple times. That don't make you a bad person. That don't mean some of us are like Goldilocks. We got to find the right one. It's okay, but use what you've learned in the new relationship. Use it to help somebody else. This is not a church where you're going to be beat up. This is deliverance temple. And if you hear you got some mess in your past, in your closet, and we're all working on it, and we're all trying to do better and be better, and we need God's help because we've all been in the place where we chose lust instead of love. All right, so now let's move on. Number two, is it fake love? Is it fake love? All right, Let's give us a definition of fake. Put this up here. We understand this. Not genuine, but counterfeit. Since we're talking about the church, let's talk about the church for a second. Where you're supposed to find love is in the church. Amen. But sometimes you find that fake love. And here's the thing. When you are given fake love, you really ain't fooling nobody. See, you can tell me you love me, but every time I walk in the room, I see how you cut your eye at me and whisper. Every now and then, it could be a coincidence, but all the time, every time, something ain't right about that. And every time a lie gets twisted about me, it started off first in your mouth. That's fake love. And that's why some people don't want to come to the house of God, because there's so much phony love in the house of God. All right, let me give you another story that I heard that made a lot of sense. And so there was this man who had recently started coming to the house of God, recently started connecting with God. And he's been going for 2-3 months, and he was enjoying himself. But one Sunday he overslept and he came in late. And the church folk talked about him so bad. They told him, you ain't got no business coming in here this late. This, then that. Now, we're not talking about it was a habitual thing. He only been to church 2-3 months, but he made one mistake. He overslept, and the church act like he did the worst thing in the world, and they got on his case. Made him feel real bad. Made him feel real rough. But what the church didn't know, this man used to be an alcoholic, and all his friends were at the bar. But he was leaving the friends at the bar to find love in the church. And for the first couple months, he thought he had love in the church until he made a mistake. Folk will love you until you mess up. So he goes to the bar where his friends are. He wasn't planning on having a drink, but he was so depressed about what happened at church that he went to the bar just to see his friends. But as he was going up to see a friend, he accidentally knocked a friend's beer over, and the beer went all over the friend. And he was like, oh my God, I messed up. But the friend said, oh, ain't no problem. Everybody in the bar said, ain't no problem. They gave him towels and cleaned him up. They dried his shirt off and said, ain't no big deal. Don't worry about it. You ain't got to cry about it. It was just a mistake. And the point that's being made, he found more love in the bar than he did in the church. And because he previously had an alcohol issue, guess what he went back to? He went back to the alcohol. And the folk in the church said, oh, look at him. He's a hypocrite. He don't really love the Lord. But they don't know you are the one who drove him to the alcohol, because he went to the hospital to find help, and all he found was judgment. So church, check yourself. We don't want no fake, phony love in the church. If you're going to give me fake love, you might as well keep it. If you're going to give me a fake smile, you might as well keep it. If you're going to hug me but lie on me, you might as well not hug me, because I don't need no more fake, phony people in my life. And guess what? Guess where fake people feel most comfortable? In the church. Because they are planted by Satan. So sometimes you can't worry about the fake ones. You got to roll with who you know love you and got your back. All right, let's go to 1 John 4:7-8.
Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God.
Ooh, what? Everyone who's been born of God loves God and knows God. Let's look at verse 8.
Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love.
Yeah, it said whoever don't love don't know God. I don't care how long they've been to church. I don't care if they the bishop over this and the bishop over that. I don't care if they got a dress all the way down to their feet. I don't care if they got a big old hat, big old church mother hat. The Bible says if they don't love, they don't know God. Let me put it in the context of this sermon. If they have fake love, they're coming to church and they're just wasting time, because God says, I don't even know them. Because how can you say you love a God you don't see, but you can't love people that you do see? I'm not saying you won't challenge people, you won't correct people, but the Bible says we speak the truth in love. If you're always mean, always nasty, always rude, always ugly, maybe you ain't even saved. But I speak in tongues. You can keep your tongues if you don't have love. And Sister Anitra, as she was praying, she talked about giving. And I heard what she said about even doing the smallest thing and giving and taking a cart, doing the small things. When you have God's love, it makes you do the small things. Yeah. Let me tell you a story about something that happened to me. It's funny. I always talk to you guys about when you're in the grocery store and you pick up the can of beans. Let's say you're in Walmart, you pick up the can of beans, and then you're over in the car aisle, and you realize, I don't want these beans. And then you go ahead and just put the beans by the tires. Well, guess what? Somebody's going to have to find the beans and take them back where they go. And so the good, loving thing would be to do is I picked it up and I moved it, and even though it's going to cost me a few extra steps, I need to put it back. Well, the other day I was in Kokomo and I was charging my electric car, and I was at Meijer, and the electric car is very far from the store. And so I walked to the store and got what I needed, and I pushed stuff out to the cart, and I was all the way to my car, and I was like, ain't no way, because now it was 11 degrees. Ain't no way I'm going to take this cart all the way back. And so as I'm walking toward my car, I heard God say, you preach about it, are you going to do it? I'm like, God, can you just leave me alone? I don't want to be pastor. I don't want to be pastor right now. I just want to be Andre. I just want to get where I'm trying to go. But it hit me. You can't talk it and not live it. So I woke my happy tail back to where the carts go in the cold. Because if you're willing to preach it, you ought to be willing to do it. Because here's the thing. Somebody was going to have to get that cart. If I didn't do it, somebody was going to have to do it. So since I caused the problem, I should also cause the solution. But when you don't have love in your heart, you don't care. When you don't have love in your heart, when the waitress comes and asks, do you want something to drink? You wait till she done gave everybody else drinks and made four trips to finally tell her you want something to drink. I tell my kids, ask why they're there. Don't just run the person raggedy just cause she can. And if you happen to run them raggedy, at least tip. At least offer them something. But some folk don't have love in that heart, and they're so selfish they don't care about nobody but themselves. And they church folk. Years ago in South Bend, they had this big conference that many people would come, and major preachers would come, and it would bring a lot of folk, and they were thinking about not doing it 1 year. And someone said, well, that would hurt the economy because hotels are paid for. But the restaurant said, we don't want y'all to have it because the church folk, the Christian folk, are the rudest when they get here. They stay the longest, and then they don't tip nothing. That is a poor witness. They over there having church and having revival and having conference, but the witness is they not practicing what they preach, because they come over here and they treat us like a dog and they won't even tip us, because a lot of church folk don't have love in their heart. And what God says, they really don't know me. All right, let's go ahead and put this word up. This is an interesting word. Unfeigned, it's an interesting word. Unfeigned means genuine, sincere. It is the opposite of fake, unfeigned. So what you want is you want someone to deal with you unfeigned. In other words, don't fake the funk with me. I'd rather have authenticity. I'd rather have the real you than the fake you. And we live in the age of filters, where you can filter everything. Filters are okay for pictures, but they're not okay for your life. I don't want the filtered you. I want the real you. So I know whether or not I want to be in relationship with you. The problem with some people is not that they made a bad choice. They never got shown the real person. If I would have been shown the real person, I never would have said yes to that mess, but they faked it on me. Give me the real so I know what to do with it. One thing about Deliverance Temple, we're not special. We're not perfect. We got issues, but we try to be real if we can be real. We try to not act like we ain't never smelled weed before. Oh, my God. No, I didn't smell weed before because I done smoked it my own self. So I ain't going to try to act like I don't know what it smelled like. I'd rather love people where they are. I'd rather minister to people where they are. And one thing about this church, the streets know who we are because we're not too sedentary because we're supposed to have love. All right. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 6:4-6. Let you read that.
But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God.
Pause right there. Keep the scripture up. Let me tell you the background. What was going on was Paul and his ministry team were being dogged out because there were these other, what they call super apostles. And so the Corinthian church was like, maybe we should trade in Paul and them for these other big wigs. And so this is where this comes from. Continue to read.
In much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses. And
so what Paul began to tell in 2 Corinthians 6 is, I'm not going to toot my own horn, but let me just tell you what I've been to you in your life. And so here's the thing. A lot of people like to fall for the shiny thing, for the okey-doke. But Paul said, I've been with you much patient. I've been with you in afflictions, in necessities. I've been with you in distress. Let me pause and go back to the romantic love. I can't stand to see somebody who you've been with them all their life, but the moment they get big money, they got to trade you in and get somebody different. If I was with you when you was in your hoopty, why can't I be with you when you in your Rolls Royce? No, stay with me. One thing I love about Lady Devon loved me when I had a car that was so messed up, the shocks were so bad, folks thought I had hydraulics. I just had bad shocks. But guess what? Devin was still googly-eyed about me. And now that I'm in an electric Cadillac, she don't love me anymore in an electric Cadillac than she did in the messed up van. Because she loved me and not the stuff. And what Paul was saying, oh yeah, you want to go jump at these super apostles. Let me tell you what I've been in your life. When you was down, I was there. When you was crying, I was there. When you was hurting, I was there. You can be a fool and trade me in now, but you'll come back looking for me and I won't be there. Because it's hard to find a ride or die. It's hard to find somebody that's with you through the ups and the downs. It's hard to find somebody that's with you through all the trouble. And if you are a young person, find you somebody that's real, that'll stick with you for you. All right, let's continue to read. Go to verse 5.
In stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings.
I was beat for y'all. I was in prison for y'all. I went through tumultuous time for y'all, labor for you. I was watching and fasting for you. Verse 6.
My pureness by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned.
Let me stop right there. The only reason why I did what I did is because I had a real love. Let me tell you, like Mary J. Blige used to say, let me tell you about a real love. A real love won't let you let go when you want to let go. Sometimes the people that are happily married now, you don't know what they went through, but a real love won't let them turn it loose. Yes, you did me wrong and I did you wrong, but it's something about this thing that we got. I can't turn it loose. We in this thing together. We gonna cry together. We gonna laugh together. We gonna go through pain together and we gonna come out on the other side together. There's nothing like real love that's unlasted the test of time. Puppy dog love is cute, but it ain't the real love. I love to see an old 75, 80 year old man walking beside an 80 year old woman and holding her hand, because there's something about a real love that'll last the test of time. And baby, let me tell you something, walking down the aisle ain't it. That's the start. But a real love will go through fire. It'll go through trouble because it ain't fake. It ain't phony. It's real love. It is unfeigned love. And that's what the ministry has for you. You could have quit on DT, but DT could have quit on you. When your name was in the paper, DT could have walked away from you. But when your name was in the paper, DT showed up at the court for you. Because love goes beyond mistakes. Love goes beyond faults. Love goes beyond just the happy times. Love comes to the sad times. When you're grieving, DT showed up. When you're happy, DT showed up. In the hospital, DT showed up. Some way, somehow, true love always shows up. Yeah, but fake love, you can't be sick too long. How you doing, sweetheart? I'm just checking on you. That's good for the first week. But have a sickness that costs you 7 weeks. Them things start trickling away. Oh, go through some real grief and watch the cards dry up. Watch the calls dry up. You find out who your real friends are, because your real friends know just because it's been 5 years don't mean the pain is gone. Real friends and real love, it's there through everything. All right. Let's go on number three. That leads us right to number three, point number three. Question number three. Is it love that lasts? Is it love that lasts? Number one, if it's lust, it ain't gonna last. But it's a love and it's real love, not fake love. Is it a love that will last? Let's go ahead and put another unword and put this up, this definition for the word unfailing, which means without error or fault. But here's what I like: reliable or constant. Give me a friend who's reliable. I can't stand a wishy-washy friend. You ain't got to talk to me every day. I don't really like to talk on the phone anyway. But when I need you, I need you. You need a friend who's reliable and constant. A friend whose word means something. If you say you're going to be there at 8, don't just ghost me and not tell me nothing. We live in a day of ghosting. Folk will just tell you one thing and they'll contact you 6 months later. Oh, by the way, I'm just going to tell you what happened. No, it's too late. I don't want to know what happened now. Give me something reliable and constant. Give me something consistent. And true love and unfailing love is reliable. It's constant. All right, let me go ahead and turn the corner on this message. As we're talking, let's just be honest. You ain't going to find this love, this high-level love, if you're only looking for it in humans. Because humans will human. But the only reliable, constant love that's always been there is the love of God. Because guess what? There's some stuff God knows about me, don't nobody know about me. And God still loves me. Just like our T.I. is. He loved me just like I am. He loved my funny ways. Even though my funny ways need to get better. He loved me when I get angry in traffic. He loved me when I don't feel like fooling with nobody. He loves me when I wanted to choke the folk who stole from us. He loves me anyhow. Yeah, he loved me. I'm grateful. I remember one time I got so angry, and I'm so grateful. I had switched cars, and my 9mm was in the other car. But God loved me enough to know, let me let this fool not be driving the car that got the gun in it. Because sometimes when he get angry, he don't think. The reason why I'm not in jail is not because I'm so great. It's because God loves me enough to keep me out of some stuff I would have gotten myself into. And you ought to know the same thing about yourself. Who you see today ain't who I really am. If it wasn't for the love of God, if it wasn't for the hand of God, if it wasn't for the grace of God, if it wasn't for the mercy of God, if it wasn't for God's unfailing love, I would have lost my mind. The divorce would have took me out. The addiction would have pulled me under. The grief would have tore me up. But the love of God. That's why I had to say love lifted me when nothing else could help. It was the love of Jehovah. It was Alpha and Omega. It was the love of God that brought me through. When I lost my husband, it was the love of God that brought me through. When I lost my child, it was the love of God that brought me through. When I lost my job, it was the love of God that brought me through. When I lost my mind, it was the love of God. There is no love like God's love. Somebody say that. Say, it's no love,
no love
like God's love. Look at what David said in Psalms 36.
Your unfailing love, O Lord, is as vast as the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches beyond the clouds.
Woo! Go ahead and read verse 6 and 7.
Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. Your justice like the ocean depths. You care for people and animals alike, O Lord.
Okay.
How precious is your unfailing love, O God. All humanity finds shelter in the shadow of your wings.
If we would just allow it, his love would shadow us. The next set of scriptures are very familiar. I'm going to read them because I always do them in marriage ceremonies or normally. Let me go ahead and do it. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8 in the New International Version. It says this, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Look at the first three words of verse 8. Love never fails. And this is talking about the true love of God. Let me say it two more times. Love never fails. Let me say it one final time. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be still. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. But God's love will remain forever. And here's question number four. Question number four is this. Is it love that's worth dying for? Now, this is a different type of love. We've switched from human love, and we've been moving toward God's love. Let's look at John 15, 13. I'll read it. It says this, there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Let's look at what Romans 5, 7, and 8 says. Read it, mother.
Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good.
He said, let's be honest. You might be good, but I don't mean I'm willing to die for you. I see all y'all, y'all look good and y'all rare, but don't be asking me to die for you. I love you, but I love me too. Now, perhaps if something happens and I gotta protect my family, I'd be willing to die for my family. But that list is very short. Be honest, the list is very short. Of the folk that you would die for. I'd take a bullet for you. Quit lying. No, you won't. Let's just be honest. We love us. So the scripture says, you would hardly die for someone who's even especially good. But look at what verse 8 says. I want you to read the two words first and just stop.
But God.
There's a revelation just there. But God. Listen and read it again, but listen to it very clearly as she reads.
But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners.
No, you got to clean up so God can love you. You got to stop doing this and that. But the Bible says, but God sent his love for us while we was yet sinners. Before you ever showed up and came through the birthing canal, God says, I know you gonna mess up when you get here, but I'm willing to die for you before you ever show up. It's a love worth dying for. God is so crazy about me and so crazy about you. He said, if this project goes awry, I need somebody that would die to get it back on course. And the Son said, send me, I'll go. I'm here to let you know the reason why I love God is not because I love him, but he first love me, and he was willing to die for me, die for messed up me, die for crazy me, die for confused me, die for messed up you and crazy you and confuse you. That's why you ought to not fix your mouth and act like you can't praise the Lord, because anybody that could die for you is somebody worth giving praise to. Come on, let's take it down back to Sunday school and read this next verse, Mother Mitchell. Make it plain, as they say.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
God had a son, but he wanted a family. He tried to start a family through Adam and Eve, but they messed up. And so him and the son got together, and he gave his only son to get the family. You mean you gave your son Jesus just so you can have me, and I'm going to walk around and not give you praise? The devil is a lie. He hung, bled, and died for me, and he did it for you. But every now and then when I look at the cross, I think about me. And when you look at the cross, you ought to think about you. And even though he died for the whole world, you got to understand he died for you. And he died for me. Verse 17. But look at what it says next. Go ahead and read it.
For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world.
What?
But that the world through him might be saved.
You mean God didn't send his son to tell everybody how bad they were? Tell everybody how messed up they were? So why, church folk, are you going on the corner and holding up signs telling everybody they going to hell? Jesus didn't do that. He came that the world through him might be rescued, might be saved, might be delivered. Let me put it to you like this in a way you can understand. If there was a lifeguard on duty and someone was in the pool and they're drowning, and the lifeguard said, "That's what you get with your dumb old self. You know you can't swim with your dumb self over there flailing around." No, you can talk about that later. Right now, I need you to jump in and pull me out. I don't need to hear about how bad I am, how messed up I am. My life is on the line. Save me. And God says, I'm not going to talk about how wicked they are, how foolish they are, how stupid they are. I'm going to jump in and I'm going to rescue. I'm going to jump in and I'm going to deliver. And that's why I like Deliverance Temple, because I've been delivered and you have too. I know a God that will rescue his people. His love is great. His love is matchless. His love never fails. His love is lasting, and I'm grateful for his love. Yes. If I'm still breathing, he's still loving me. Yes. And not only that, he loves me so much that when I take my final breath on this side, he got me on that side. I'm in a win-win situation. I can never lose. God's got his hands over me. I believe Keisha Cole used to sing a song. I got love all over me. I'm here to let you know, Keisha, I don't know who you was talking about, but I can tell you I got love all over me. It's the love of the Holy Ghost. And that's why I got this red on. It's the blood of the Lamb. And what can wash away my stain? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And what can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. All precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fountain I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And it reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. The love that gives me strength from day to day, it'll never lose its power. So why haven't you quit when rough times come? Because he loved me. Yeah. Why haven't you thrown the towel in yet? Because he loved me. Yeah. Why haven't you given up because of 2025? Because he loved me. Why aren't you crying because the person you voted for didn't get in office? Because he loves me. Why aren't you still crying about the folk who stole from you? Because he loves me. And since he loves me, I always bounce back. Since he loves me, I always win. Since he loves me, I'm always on the top. And since he loved me, everybody not like me, and I can say not like us, because I got the love of the Lamb of God over my life and over my doorpost. All right? I done got happy, but I got to come to a close. Come on, put it up there. Here's the conclusion. As we come to the conclusion, let me give you two takeaways. I've been doing this lately. Two takeaways. And this is just a way to sum up the message for you in two quick things. Y'all been rolling with me. Y'all been listening. But let me sum it up. Here's number one. And I made this point and you'll understand it. Human love that operates outside of God's love is a love we don't need or want. Now, the love may be attached to Aaron, Pierre, that's Mufasa. And he might be fine, but if it's outside of God's love, I don't want it. She might be fine, 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 but if it's attached to love outside of God's love, I don't want it and I don't need it. And once you get old enough and you get mature enough, you realize I can do bad by myself. I'd rather be by myself with God's love than to be hooked up with you and you taking me through a whole bunch of junk. Because, see, here's the thing about love. Some folk don't love themselves, so they'll never be able to love you because they don't love themselves. And they're only with you because you intimidate them, and so they're trying to bring you down to their level. The reason why some relationships don't work is because the folk you got are jealous of you. And they're supposed to be in love with you. And let me be honest. Sometimes men are bad about this. Because women, sometimes y'all go for anything. Sometimes. I mean, women, you can tell been in the gym. I mean, they got everything put together. And they got a man that got a belly way out here. Well, he treat me kind. See, women are subtle for stuff. But what happens to the man, he realizes how other men look at his woman. And so instead of stepping his game up, he tries to pull her down. Sometimes it happens the same thing with women and men. So sometimes you and folk that just don't have God's love in them, it'll never work. Give me somebody that can love, that have God's love in them. All right, let's go ahead and sum it up with another statement. This will make it real clear. True love starts with God's love. True love starts with God's love. And true love ends with God's love. It's Alpha and Omega. So if it ever gets out of God's love, guess what? I'm off the train. Well, saints shouldn't be getting divorced. Look, speak for yourself. If it's no longer in the love of God, you're going to see me at the courthouse and restructuring my life. Because I need somebody that's going to walk with me the way God would walk with me. And God didn't raise me up for me to be somebody's doormat and to walk all over my back and to take advantage of me. Talking about you a high value man. You with your money grubbing self, get out of my face, get out of my life. I want somebody that'll love me for me. And true love starts with God's love and true love ends with God's love. And let me say this as I'm coming to the close. The reason why sometimes we can't choose is because we don't love us. And since we don't love us, we don't know what to choose. Here's what's interesting about life. In this room, I can see everybody in here but me. So sometimes the person who doesn't know their worth or the last person to know your worth sometimes is you. So sometimes you just got to spend time with the love of God and let him love you so it builds up your love. This is what I've learned as I've been sharing this. If God loves me like he loves me, I must be something. I ain't got to be everything, but I'm something. And since I am something, you can't talk to me any kind of way. Because if the God that puts breath in my body, if he don't talk to me crazy, what makes you think you can talk to me crazy? And I'm in a season of my life, I don't care about racist this and racist that. If you don't see the beauty of who I am, I don't need to be around you. I will distance myself from you. I love me too much to stay in contact with you. All right, so let me go ahead and read it like the Bible would read it. I'm going to read it myself from King James. This is one of my favorite phrases and scriptures in the Bible, and I promise I'm coming to the close, but look at it, Romans 8:35. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine
or nakedness or peril or sword. Paul is saying bad times can't take away God's love. Look at the next verse. It says, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Verse 37, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. This is what Paul is saying. If I'm hooked up to the love of God, what should have took me out, I end up becoming stronger in it. I end up becoming more than a conqueror. I end up becoming like Marvin said, I'm stronger. I'm wiser. I'm better. Yes, it could have took me out, but the love of God was the foundation on my feet, and it lifts me up. It raised me up. It's the wind beneath my wings. It's the love of God. And look at what it says in verse 38, and this is what I like, because he's convinced, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, wait a second, even if I die, his love is so strong, I don't really die, I cross from one life to the next. So neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, which means demons, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nothing shall be able to separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. He loves me because he wants to. He loves me because he's God, and I am his, and he is mine. So here's our confession as we finally come to a close. I don't know why I got happy at the end, but I'm talking about the love of God. So we're going to sit. I'll read it, and then I'll have you stand, and we'll confess it together. Here it is. I'll read it. Father God, there's no love like your love. And as you look at it, when we talk about love that's not his, it's spelled with a small L. When we talk about his, it's spelled with a big L. Father God, there's no love like your love. Father, help me question any love that's not rooted in your love. Shape my heart so that my love grows to look, sound, and act like your love. Come on, let's stand to our feet. Let's do this together. On this Love Sunday, come on, repeat it after me. Father God, there's no love like your love. No love like your love. Father, help me question any love that's not rooted in your love. That's not rooted in your love. Shape my heart so that my love grows to look, sound, and act like your love. Now, if you believe it, go ahead and praise the Lord. Teach me how to love. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, teach us how to love. And God, many of us, we have gone through life, and we're in the middle ages and our older years, and we've gone through so much. But in the process, you taught us how to love. But God, help us to walk this love out. Help us to live this love out. Help us not to be just a church that talks about love. Let love really flow from this place, God. Jack us up until we can love the way we're supposed to love. And we give you praise for it. Now, God, if there's anybody under the sound of my voice that doesn't know you in the pardon of their sins, that never asked you in their heart, they've never accepted your love in their life, I pray that this is the day they open up and receive your love. And so let's say this together to help them. Father God, you sent your son to die because of your love and his love. So I accept that love into my life from this day forward. And I now have everlasting life in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you.